starting a 2017, hopefully it's not like 2017 trampling on 2016. In fact, I read today's newspaper, and today is the 1st of January, so there are a lot of articles on the old year and the new year, and how last year is described as being a tough year, hard year. So it's good that, you know, not only go day by day, and we can also go year by year. And my blessings for all of us for 2017, and in fact all the days of our lives, is that the God of hope will fill you with all joys and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So this is a scripture verse that I'm basing today's message of hope, joy and peace upon. And I'll start by sharing a number of quotes with you. This one is from or by Ravi Zacharias. He says, many worldviews offer responses to pain and despair. You know, if you are of a certain religious faith, they will offer you an explanation, their explanation. But the Christian message goes beyond any other answers to our problem. You see, the problem is within. It's not the environment, it's the environment. And therein lies our real need. And so that's why I felt this blessing of all joys and peace that is poured out in us. You know, it really goes down to the root of the problem. We need that so badly, because whatever comes out of us spills up from the inside. And what better to have on the inside than all joys and peace, so that we may then go about in turn overflowing with hope. The next quote is by John Piper. He says, darkness comes in the middle of it, the future looks blank. Well, sometimes looks black. Huh? The temptation to quit is huge. Don't. You're in good company. You will argue with yourself, there's no way forward. But with God, nothing is impossible. He has more ropes and ladders and tunnels out of pits than you can conceive. Wait. Pray without ceasing. Hope. And this one, which is very interesting, I have a picture of joy dancing. Joy is peace dancing, and peace is joy at rest. Okay, I'll start with hope. And of course, all of us typically think in terms, or think of hope in terms of a feeling or emotion. You know, it's like hope is akin to faith. You know, you wish for something, you hope for something. Is that verb, is that process, and occurred to me that hope is also an outcome. Hope is a verb you wish for, but hope is also the very object of what you desire. Hope is the outcome of what you aspire, what you long for, what you wish for, right? And best example is like the New Year, all of us have resolutions. And some of us hope that we don't destroy other people's furniture, you know. And okay, you all know New Year resolutions, right? Yeah. Anyone has a New Year resolution to make? Well, here's a wish list, hope for the New Year. The ultimate, get more sleep. Get more undisturbed sleep. Drink more water. Get more exercise, so on and so forth. You know, just try your best. And you know, I thought, okay, let's personalize it a bit. I personally hope that the US and China don't start a war because of Donald Trump. And don't all of us hope that the lights will come on for someone we love, right?
Yeah.
And then this one you've got to be, take it tongue in cheek, it's a two-edged sword. I hope my children or grandchildren will take after me. It's a two-edged sword, that's good. But my prayer for all of us is that, well, let us be a model that's worthy of the child. And of course, the last line is left intentionally blank, because all of us have hopes, not just for 2017, but as we live this life, right? And I want you to know that Bible hope is hope that is based on God's word. So, two-sided again. God's word, like when God promises or blesses, or when God gives an instruction that this is not what you should put your hope on or in. So for example, in the Old Testament, God tells his people, don't put your hope on chariots and horses, on physical might, if you like. And in the New, you have this verse from 1 Timothy 6:17, where we're told that don't put your hope in wealth, because it's so uncertain. Better to put your hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Actually, here I hope that you begin to see the connection between hope and enjoyment, right? Because what is hope for unless it leads us or it gives us opportunity to enjoy, right? And on the positive side, I found from Psalms alone, these are some of the promises of hope that God gives to us. From Psalms alone, Psalm 25:3 says that hope in God, there is no letdown. You will not be disappointed. You will not be put to shame. With hope in God, there is no letdown. With hope in God, there is divine guidance. In other words, here are the promises of hope. What we can hope for, the object, you know, the things that we long for, the things that we desire, you know. And then, of course, I mean, at the end of the day, I hope my life is one that doesn't let people down, doesn't let God down, that I'm not ashamed of, that He's not ashamed of. The hope of divine guidance. How many of you have this hope of divine guidance? These are the promises of hope in God. Strength and courage, Psalms 31:24. Help and a shield of protection. Not only Psalms 91, but Psalms 33:20. The hope of joy and peace from Romans, as we saw just now, and now in Psalms 42:1. And the hope of rest. The hope of rest. Psalms 62:5. Alright. You remember this Aladdin lamp, right? This was covered in the last week, the last message. What do you know, and I'm sure you all realize, that hope is a natural thing. It's a natural inclination. None of us need to be taught to hope, right? I mean, all my grandchildren were hoping for Nerf guns and Tayo or Teo toys. It's a natural inclination to want something good. It's a natural inclination, as in the example I gave the last time, to exchange a bad situation for a good one. Or even to exchange something good for the best. And, you know, I think our greatest hope in God, you know, like in the Aladdin case, you have a hope for new lamps. Our greatest hope in God is the hope for a new life. New life for old, a new life that is full, a new life that is abundant, overflowing, John 10:10. And as the word of God in 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, this is a word of hope. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. This is the greatest hope that we have in God. Hope, joy, and peace. We said that joy is peace dancing and peace is joy at rest. Here's my take on it. In other words, here's my goal at unpacking this a bit. You all are free to give me your interpretation or your take on it after this. Huh? Joy is peace dancing and peace is joy at rest. Well, first of all, I noticed that these two ideals, joy and peace, these two emotions, they go together, they tend to go together in scripture. And I found at least two other occasions. I found at least two other occasions where joy and peace are mentioned together in the Bible with the Holy Spirit. Remember the Romans, the blessings? Hope, joy, peace, Holy Spirit. Huh? Joy and peace mentioned with the Holy Spirit. I found two other occasions where they are mentioned together with the Holy Spirit, and here you go. I mean, Romans 14:17 says the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Can you try and guess what the next one could be? They're actually all together three, you know, the Romans blessings, now this one. And of course, the fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit is the joy and peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Again, such there is no
the
law.
The kind of joy that God gives, not the hunky-dory type of joy.
Yeah. Well, just to follow through, it seems to me, and it's very obvious that joy and peace there is high up there among what matters to God, right? It's high up there in what matters to God. I mean, he says that in the kingdom of God, it's not about eating and drinking, it's about besides righteousness, peace and joy, right? And then, you know, when the Holy Spirit is given, of course he enables us. And one of the things he enables us is to become like Christ. And one of the things that we bear as his fruit is joy and peace, right? So, peace and joy, high up there in what matters to God. And as I mentioned just now, in connection with hope, what is hope for if not to give us peace and joy? Joy and peace, right? Today's message is hope, joy and peace. What is hope for if not to give us peace and joy? So this leads me to immediately conclude that not all hopes are equal, right? Some hopes are frivolous, some hopes are more serious, more important, and not all hope are accompanied by joy and peace. Well, some hope are false hope. Some hopes are
hope for a Lamborghini. Yeah. It doesn't mean that you get joy and peace.
Some hopes are illusions, and some of the things you don't hope don't necessarily lead to peace and joy. I remember the Timothy verse which says that it's the love of money that's the root of all evil, and some people who are led by it, they're pierced by sorrows. You know? So if you hope for wealth, for instance, as we heard just now, it's not only uncertain, and there's no certainty that it will be accompanied by peace and joy. Okay, so not all hopes are equal, nor are all accompanied by peace and joy. What did I say? The greatest hope in God is the new life, right? So not all hopes are equal. The greatest hope in God is the new life. I'll talk more about that later. And I also mentioned that not all hopes are accompanied by peace and joy. There's this sign at Dachau, I hope I pronounced it correctly, is that a Nazi concentration camp in the Second World War. And outside the camp, there's this very, very big sign which says, Arbeit macht frei, in English means work makes you free. And this is a sign to give you false hope. False hope to those who enter. Imagine if you are going to be sent to the concentration camp and you see that sign there. You think that, oh, this is just a place where they're just going to work you, right? But it's actually a place where they are consigned to death. This is just an example where certain hope are false, and false hope that can actually lead you to a place of death. When you know that hope in God's word and promises leads to joy. Because God's word tells us in Romans 12:12, be joyful in hope. You know, and so being good followers, you'll find that in Christian tradition, hope and joy are embedded, are found together. And it's like in this verse from the hymn, O Holy Night. I like this. It's very poetic. This verse from the hymn, O Holy Night, says, a thrill of hope, the weary soul rejoices. Hope and joy go together. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. I'm going to give you, or show you here, let you hear now, a rendition of this verse. And my prayer, my blessing for you is that even as you listen to this rendition, may you be filled with all joys and peace. I bless you with all joys and peace, and may you overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It almost makes us want to sing this whole song, right? This whole song is 6 minutes. I'm just giving you a taste of heaven. Okay. Joy is peace dancing and peace is joy at rest. Why? Because with hope in God, there's all joy when hope is fulfilled, right? I mean, that's a no-brainer. When hope is fulfilled, there's all joy, right? But how many of you know that there's an incredible peace that guards your heart and mind when hope is deferred? This is a harder one, right? It's kind of conditional here, you know, that you can have peace or joy at rest only when you have full assurance that hope will be fulfilled. You get it? I think some of you are still going through that. You can have peace, joy at rest, peace that guards your heart and mind, only when you really know, when you have full confidence. It may take a little bit of time, it may be akandatan, but hope will be fulfilled. Then you can have joy at rest. It's like Jesus showed it's possible. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Do you know what makes this blessing which I'm basing today's word on, do you know what makes this blessing very special? There's God's part, there's our part. And it's God's part. It's God's part to fill and to fulfill. You know, we talk about the God of hope coming to fill us up with all joys and hope. There's nothing on your part, okay? That's the good news. And that's what makes it special. It's He who goes ahead to set before you all joys when He's delayed. And it's He who will give you peace or joy at rest when hope is still coming. It's all His part. It's all His part. And we are told over and over and over again on this subject of hope in God. Well, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. But we are told over and over again that it will not disappoint. It does not put you to shame. It's like saying, hey, will you not really set your mind at rest on this and know that when you have hope in me, the Father says, it will not disappoint. It may be deferred or delayed, but the joy that I've set before you is certain to be fulfilled. And it's special because God is special. And you know, it's like 1 Peter 5 says, you can cast all your anxieties on Him, meaning big anxieties or small anxieties. Okay, sometimes we think we don't go to God except when the house is on fire, when the wheels drop off. No, we can go to God because no hope or no issue, no concerns of our heart is too trivial or small to go to Him. Actually, if it troubles you, it's big for you, isn't it? So, maybe this is a good application for us. Starting 2017, when you cast all your anxiety on Him, because God is special, He cares for you. And like Philippians 4:6-7 say, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. Instead, exchange your old situation for a new situation by prayer, petition with thanksgiving. Just present your request to God, and the hope in God that you have requested of Him will be fulfilled or certainly set before you. And when you truly believe that, the peace of God, the divine supernatural peace of God, will come upon you. Guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. And you can be experiencing joy at peace. And what's more special about that blessing is that your hope in God is not going to be met. We like this idea that we have learned. It's not going to be met according to your needs. It's going to be met according to the King's standard. For my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. And as you seek God's rule over you, all things will be added to you. Nothing withheld. I'm just sort of going on and on rambling about what's so special about that blessing. Special because it's all on his part. And it's because God is so special. All things will be added to you. And here's my favorite. You know what my favorite is? For if our Father God did not spare his own Son, Jesus gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? So that's God's part. What's your part, you think, in connection with hope, joy, and peace? Yeah. Wouldn't you put your trust in the God of hope? That's our part. And to unpack it further, you know, put your trust in the Word of God. It's like what Anthony said. What does that mean? Well, it means doing certain things, okay? And it can be just saying, I receive. Because if you don't believe, you won't say, I receive. If you don't trust, you won't say, I receive. So one of the things you can do to just put your trust in the God of hope is, as I've shared this blessing with you, say, I receive. I certainly receive, okay? I receive with two hands. Not only that, I hold it here, okay? I receive this blessing of God of all joys and hope, and to overflow. This one is just receiving. The wrestling comes when you learn how to put joy at peace. that is as you wait for joy to be fulfilled. Right? Are you all saying I receive? Some of us don't have to say it aloud, you know. You know this is something that you transact with. More, just ask. And I'm kind of widening a bit. It is with regard to all our hopes in God. As you draw near to him, God will draw near to you. So do this. Ask for God to reveal more and more of himself to you in ways that you can recognize and understand. And do you know that our greatest hope comes from following Jesus? You know, ask that God will reveal his Son more and more of himself to you, that you will know in your heart that he is truly your greatest hope in God. Following Jesus is your greatest hope in God, you know. Because Jesus gives you the right to become sons and daughters of God. Because in Christ Jesus you will receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness, and you will what? Can you say it? You will reign in life. And you will, come on.
Reign in life.
Yeah, can you all say reign in life? Say it louder. Yes. And you will reign in life.
Okay. Be a region.
Yeah. And again, you know, hope in God. No letdown, no shame or disillusionment. For again, the Word of God tells us, anyone who believes in Jesus will never be put to shame. Don't believe me, I'm giving you so much scripture which says the same old thing about hope in God, right? So why do you follow Jesus? Why do I ask this question? Because I said that this is your greatest hope in God, right? Why do you follow Jesus? This is the part where, since you all didn't bring a word or praise a report, I will extract it out of each one of you. Why do you follow Jesus?
Hope is the bread of life,
resurrection,
truth, and the light.
Okay, wonderful. Let me tell you, the longer you wait to give an answer, it gets harder because all the answers will be given. Actually,
you give a slide for me.
Okay, okay. I love moral answers, but I rather also hear, you know.
Why do you follow Jesus?
Yeah.
Because without Jesus, I'm sunk.
Yeah. Express the hope in Jesus is what I'm hoping to hear. Because Jesus, in Jesus, He will fulfill in me the hope of. What is that blank? All joys and peace. Because He brings into our lives joy and peace, right? Follow Jesus because in Jesus God is ever present. Hope will never disappoint. Following Jesus has hope overflowing. And these are just what we really need. Provision, safety, justice, healing, love, honor, glory.
So it's because in Him we have hope, joy and peace.
It meets our every need. Now.
We don't have hope, joy and peace.
Okay, so why don't we pray this prayer together, starting 2017.
Okay.
Father, we come before you today with all that has happened in our lives, our hopes, our successes and our failures, our gains and our losses. We bring to you our lives filled with exhaustion, wonder, fear, and concern.
Now,
putting our trust in you, we come with hearts open to receive all joys and peace. And in this time of new beginnings, let faith arise and hope overflow by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is where, as a pastor, I just tell you, listen, our Father God is in the business of making things new. Your hope in Him will not disappoint. And as you continue to seek Him and trust God more fully, may you increasingly experience all joys and peace, the wonderment of being in His kingdom. And may you increasingly reign in this life. We say amen to that.
Amen.